Everybody got their swords with them tonight? Time to sharpen them up a little bit, amen?
Amen.
Sure. You know, one of the things that you and I, as a believer in Christ, we have a tendency sometimes to fall prey to the feeling or circumstance that God's left us. Where are you? Oh man, where are you, Lord? Help! You know? And, you know, the Word tells us to count it all joy, even our trials and tribulations. And he allows certain things to happen to us, you know. Of course, we make the choices sometimes. Sometimes he's trying to rescue us and we refuse to accept the rescue. Amen? So things are going to happen. But in every circumstance and every trial and tribulation that is happening in our life, understand that the Lord, if you love the Lord, he turns all things to the good.
Amen.
Amen. And the one thing that he does ask of me and you is obedience.
Right.
You know. Well, what happens at certain times is we begin to stray. We begin to look back at what we did, and we begin to look in the future of how it's going to turn out. And we begin to stray, and our minds begin to drift and wander, and we actually lose sight that God is the God of now.
Amen.
Amen? Because he is the God of now, and I just want to share just a simple, short teaching tonight of the God of now.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation 1. Praise be to God. Revelation 1. The God of now. Glory to the Lamb.
Amen. Glory.
Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll impart in us encouragement and strength, knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In verse 8, would everybody read it with me? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now this is powerful because he emphasizes who he truly is. First of all, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. In other words, he begins what he wants and he ends what he wants. He says, I am he who was, which means eternally. And for me and you, it's considered past. I am he who is, which is present. And I am he who is to come, which means future. So you and I are walking in a realm of present. But we're also walking in a realm of that which was past and that which is to come. So we see in its own essence, it's like three-dimensional.
Amen.
Past, present, and future. Amen? And of course, we need to be in the Spirit so we can understand what the Spirit is saying to us through His Word, whether it's representing something of past, present, and future. Amen? But it's very profound here because He says, I am. Now, the I am makes the statement that He is all of them. It makes a statement that he's not only the past, but he's also the present, and he is the future to me and you. Does everybody get it? Okay. Go to Exodus 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 13, would you all read it with me? Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What should I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, I am everything. I am the past. I am the present. I am the future. He makes that statement that he is all things. Amen? And he says, And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God says to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Amen. Now, we understand again that he makes the statement. It reflects the statement as past. I am present in the past. I am present in the present. And I am present in the future. Amen? Hallelujah. I am the God of now. Does everybody get it? He is the God of now. Now. Go to Genesis 1. Thank you, Papa, for being with us. Because you're the God of now. You're the daddy of right now. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this is powerful. It's a simple statement, but in the carnal, you'll never get it. But in the spirit, you'll see that certain things manifested here. The first thing is God created time. That's why it says, in the beginning. God created time, and where there's a beginning, there's a end. So when God created the universe, he created a beginning. Now we know he is, isn't he? So we know also that everything must go. There is going to be a time when the whole universe is going to be swallowed up. But we will still be with him. Does everybody get it? Everything will pass away. The word tells us that the things you see are temporary and the things you don't see are eternal. Everything is going to pass away. But we won't. And the next time he does a creation, we will be there with him. And whatever universe he chooses or whatever he chooses to do, we don't know. There's so many things awaiting me and you. If we can just get out of our circumstances and get involved in the God of now, we won't get swayed and lost. Amen? So we see here he says, in the beginning God created. In the beginning God created time. It says God created, it means force. The heavens and the earth, he created the spiritual realm first and then the natural realm. Does everybody get it? But if there's a beginning, there's an end. Now you must understand something. God is not bound by space and time, but you and I are, because we are part of creation. And all of creation is bound by space and time. Amen? But in the spirit, we're not bound by space and time. Did you ever notice that when you had a dream, sometimes you're a child? You could be all things in a dream, can't you? There's no distance in time in a dream. God can speak to you as something that was in the past, that something you need to get healed, something of present, or something of future. Amen. Because there is no distance. Dreams are not bound by space and time. The only thing they're bound by is memory. Everybody get it? They're bound by memory. Hallelujah. So we see God created time. He's not bound by space or time. He is not about the beginning or the end. He is the beginning and the end of his choosing. He is acknowledged as omnipotent, right? All-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere, and omniscience. All-knowing. Amen? So he makes three statements. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere. Amen? He knows it all. There isn't anything he doesn't know. Everything was created through Him, by Him, and for Him. You and I, the Word says that you and I walk and have our living beings in Him. Does everybody understand that? We live, we breathe in Him. Amen. That we have a teaching called the six stages of the earth, and it'll bring a little bit more understanding of the first three stages and how what God created. But we must also understand that He is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-present, all-powerful. There is nothing hidden from Him. In fact, He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows when you're discouraged, encouraged. He knows when you're bent out of shape. He knows when you don't know what to do. And He knows when you know what to do. Amen? There isn't anything hidden. He knows the numbers of hair on our head. Nothing gets past Him. When you and I were out sinning, He was right there. When you and I were out fornicating and doing weird things, He was right there. And when you and I began to walk upright, He was right there. The Word tells us that, how can I get away from Your presence or get away from Your Spirit? If I go to heaven, You're there. If I go to hell, You're there. Everything, we're in Him. But we must understand something, that He is the God of now. Right now, God is dealing with us. Right now. What's done with yesterday, because we're bound by space and time, is over with. Does everybody get it? We don't need to have a concern about the future. If we'll stay in the present, He'll fix our past and prepare our future. If we'll just grab a hold of Him right now, the Word says if you're with God, God's with you. In fact, that's where the word Emmanuel came from, is God is with us. Amen? So He is the God of now. So many people get so caught up so quickly. We get so caught up so easy in all kinds of directions. Oh man, what if, how this, and we lose sight that He is the God of now, the one that created all things. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want to go to a place where we get an understanding that God is with us. God is the God of now. Let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Luke 23, let's see here. Let's go to verse 32. Now Jesus is hanging on the cross, right? Hallelujah. And it says, there were also two other criminals led with Him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified Him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now I want you to understand something. At this time, it was approximately the third hour, which meant 9 a.m. Okay? And it says that they divided His garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself. Now these were the Pharisees and Sadducees saying all this stuff. And if He is the Christ, the chosen of God, you know, like in other words, save Himself. And they began to mock Him and all kinds of things. Now, if you go a little further, It says in verse 46, somewhere around there. Hallelujah. And we know that as the Lord was hanging on the cross, He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Does everybody remember that?
Yeah.
All right. And the reason why He felt the presence of God leave Him, because He took on the sins of the world and He became the serpent for man. Amen. In that exchange, that the presence of God would leave Him, He made the exchange that the presence of God would be with me and you as the God of now. And then He said, into Your hands I commit My spirit, which was known as the ninth hour, which was about 3 p.m. So we see Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, and number 6 represents man. So He made the exchange that God would always be with us no matter what. Does everybody get it? Why? Because He is the God of now, not that the God of was, or the God who will come. He is the God of now for me and you. We are the children of God of now. And we can never lose sight. And one thing that the devil wants you to do is to lose sight of the God of right now. Okay, so we see that Jesus paid the price. He hung on the cross 6 hours representing man, making the exchange. He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because the presence of the Lord left Him, and He had to leave Him so that God would be with us always. Amen? And Psalm 46. Oh, hallelujah. In Psalm 46, praise be to God. Is everybody all right? In verse 10, read it, please. Be still and know that I am God. God of what? God of now. Sometimes we get so caught up, we're not still. And sometimes being still is making a conscious effort to recognize that He is the God of now. See, the devil always wants you to bring you to you. If he can get a woe is me in there, he's moved you out of position. If he can shoot you to your past, he's moving you out of the presence of the God of now. If he can move you to your future, he's moving you out of the presence of the God of now. Does everybody get it? So he says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God. That means we must make a conscious effort that He is the God of now. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Until we're still sometimes, it's hard to recognize that He is the God of now. We can get real busy. Many times we run to the phone instead of to the throne. Amen. Many times we go and try and do things. Remember we talked about seek. The word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Well, because we must acknowledge that He is the God of now. The God of now. Go to Psalm 4. Psalm chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 3. Would you read it with me? But know that the Lord has set apart for Himself Him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. That makes that conscious effort that he is the God of now. Does everybody get it? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. When you know him as the God of now, you know him as Lord and you're able to put trust in him. You know what happens? You stop trying to work and figure out and build your own things. You're willing to do whatever it takes because you're fellowshipping with the God of now, right now. You're not concerned about what, when, and how. You're saying hallelujah because you know the God of now. Amen. You're not concerned about how you're going to build it. You're concerned about relationship. That way he'll build it. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 13. And you know what gets when you recognize the God of now, the butt ministry moves out of the way. Remember, we're the head, not the tail, right? Yeah, but. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13. In verse 8. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Actually, you know what? I'm going to do two of these in one. Let's start at verse 5. Hallelujah. Now, if you acknowledge him as the God of now, you'll acknowledge him as the God of now. But if you don't acknowledge him as the God of now, your conduct will reveal it. Does everybody get it? If you're not fellowshipping with the God of now, then we're deceived and think he doesn't see things and know things. But if you acknowledge him as the God of right now, there is fellowship in the Spirit and obedience. There's uprightness. There's righteous conduct. There is submission. There is no rebellion. Amen? In verse 5, it says what? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you're fellowshipping with the God of now. You're not looking at what you don't have, and you're not looking at what you lost. You're looking at what you have right now. Because you're fellowshipping with the God of now. Amen? Hallelujah. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. Why? Because he is the God of now. If he says he'll never leave you or forsake you, then why ever do we go frantic? You know why? Because it was called the voice of the stranger that shot the dart. We accepted that lie as our own thought and brought it in, and it brought us into captivity. And then deception is the path of darkness, which allowed the powers of darkness access to you. I had a guy in my class the other day. He said, man, I can't do this. I said, be quiet. There will be no I can'ts in this room. We can do all things through Christ. If you're going to accept the I can't, you won't. Amen. You know why? He's not fellowshipping with the God of now. Let me share something with you. People would stop lying if they acknowledge the God of now. They wouldn't try to puff themselves up and make themselves look good. Amen. They'd start bringing glory to God and trusting in him, because if you're fellowshipping with the God of now, you're trusting him. Amen. Amen. In verse 6, So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I had to say that a couple weeks ago. What can man do to me? Amen? And the Lord made a way of escape for me. Hallelujah. He always likes doing that. In verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. Wow. You'll know whether they're fellowshipping with the God of now. You can't turn God on and off. And we have a tendency to do that, don't we? You know why? Because we accept the thought or the dart from the devil. And it brings us into captivity and blinds us, even if it's just for that moment. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen? So he is the same. Nothing's changed. It's only man that changes. And man changes by what he hears. Does everybody get it? Man changes by what he hears. You know, if you think about it, when we were younger, you know, I remember when I was young and, you know, all of my peers were smoking cigarettes. And I'll never forget the first time I put a cigarette in my mouth. I almost coughed to death. But I forced myself to like it because everybody else did. You know, you think about it. I mean, God was trying to prevent us from doing certain things, and we forced ourselves because of what we thought. We accepted the voice of the stranger. We became captive to it, as accepting it as our own thought, and it wasn't. And we lost sight of the God of now. Of course, most of us never had the fellowship of God of now. But it's just an example of how we get into captivity. Amen? Listen, he isn't done bringing you into captivity either. Or me. That's his job. Amen? So we got to remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go to Isaiah 44. Oh, hallelujah. So the next time the devil tries to bring you out of the God of now, you'll go, wait a minute. Oh, no you don't, you varmint. And when the next thing, as soon as you start hearing, yeah, but, you'll go, oh, no you don't, butthead. Right? Isaiah 44 and verse 6. To God be the glory. Would you read it with me, please? Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. Hallelujah. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the time and declared it? You are my witnesses, and there is a God besides me. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Now understand this. You and I are the witness of the God of now. Does everybody get it? You and I are the witness of the God of now. You know, people are looking for God.
Amen.
The people are looking for power. They're looking for things. Of course, they're looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. But you and I are the witness of the God of now. And let me tell you how you're the greatest witness. Your conduct is the greatest witness of the God of now. You know why? Because if you have dominion over yourself, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are fellowshipping with the God of now. He's trying to manifest himself through me and you. And he does it by what we do and how we act, not always by what we speak. The greatest witness is what you act, not what you speak. Because most people have a great testimony, but their witness stinks.
Amen.
And that disqualifies their testimony.
Amen.
Somebody isn't going to come up to me and tell me, yes, I do this and I do that, and God has anointed me to do this, when their conduct is not upright with God. Does everybody get it? If their conduct is not upright with the Lord, something's not right. They're not fellowshipping with the God of now. Because the God of now straightens us up and doesn't puff us up. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. I like this. Let's start at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of the light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters of above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established from them forever and ever. And He made a decree which shall not pass away. Wow. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Now understand something. His word is a representation of creation. Does everybody get it? His word created all things, isn't it? In fact, the word says that the three witnesses in heaven are the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. He created all things through His word. His word is still cruising. His word has not stopped. You and I are upheld by the word of God. By His spoken word. Everything is upheld by His spoken word. Material could never come to pass until it was spoken. The universe was not created until it was spoken. Because He is the God of now. Does everybody get it? So if you and I are still here and everything is still upheld, and we're not floating off the earth and, you know, and all kinds of things, then He is the God of now. Just by not floating off the earth, He is the God of now. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. So all things are created by His word. Amen. And His word is still now and active because He's the God of now. All right? So the word... Oh, praise God. Let's go to Psalm 138. 138. Psalm 138. Hallelujah. In verse 1-3. 1-3. Is everybody there? I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your what? Holy temple. And praise your name. And your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Then that's powerful. You've magnified your word above your name. Why? Because the three witnesses in heaven were the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Okay? His name became, when the Word became flesh, so did His name. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. You got to understand something. When the Lord said, I am who I am, in other words, I'm everything. There isn't anything I'm not. Amen? So he asked them his name. You know, God never revealed his name because he is. You want to know his name? He is. And when he came to the earth, he not only manifested his word, he gave the name of Yeshua or Jesus, acknowledging the name of who he chose. That's why only Jesus could say, I am. Because that was the name of God. Amen. Now you got all kinds of garbage going around here. You got people claiming Yahweh. You got people claiming Jehovah. You got all these people. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except for through the Son. See, God created, not only the Word became manifest, but His name did. He chose the name of Jesus to give to man, who is the name of God. That's why no one can come. That's why only in the name of Jesus can things happen. Does everybody get it? You got to understand that Jesus is God. He took a part of himself and called him Son. He was not the Son in heaven. There was no such thing as the Son of God in heaven. Does everybody get it? He was known as the Word. So when he took a part of himself, he called him Son. That's why he said, I've begotten you this day. In other words, here I come. You got to understand, God is omnipresent. So he came into the world as Son, and he fellowshipped with himself. Did you ever speak to yourself? Well, what's the difference? So God spoke to himself, and he called him Son. And his Son said, no one comes to Daddy except for through Daddy. That's why he said, I am the Father. He was the Father. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he was the God of now. He was the God of now. So he exalted his word above his name because his word was before his name. His name was I am. And there isn't anything I'm not, because he didn't choose to have a name. He didn't need one. Does everybody get it?
Yep.
And then when he came to the earth, he gave a name because we needed a name then.
Amen.
Hello? Jesus said, I have magnified your name. What was his name? Jesus. Well, what about Jehovah? Jehovah means God in Hebrew. It wasn't his name. Well, I'm a Jehovah Witness. Well, the name is name. Jehovah, no, you don't understand. That means God in Hebrew. That's not his name. Jesus said, you will be a witness of me when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Then you'll be a witness of who? Jesus. And Jesus was Jehovah because Jehovah means God.
Amen.
But you know what happened? They lost contact with the God of now. Because the God of now is known, his name is Jesus. They accepted a lie from the devil as their own thought and they brought him into captivity. Does everybody get it? And then there's no fellowship in the Spirit, because if there's fellowship in the Spirit, you fellowship with the God of now. But the devil would like to move you out of position, and that's his job, to lose sight of the God of now. But when you're fellowshipping with the God of now, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen? Hallelujah. So we understand that his word represents present now. Does everybody get it? His word is present now. So when you speak the Word of God, it actually makes it present. The name of Jesus brings him present right now. Because you're dealing with the God of now. Remember, his word and his name is still cruising. It's what upholds everything. And as you begin to fellowship and make the conscious effort of the God of now, you'll be in his presence. And you'll acknowledge him in his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory.
Okay, let's go to somewhere. Let's go to Psalm 107. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Psalm 107. Hallelujah. Hey, let's go to the start of verse 17. Is everybody there? It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Does everybody get it? Now, it doesn't mean that afflictions come just from sin. Okay? They don't just come from sin. But he called them fools. He said they were afflicted because of their transgressions. You know why? They lost sight of the God of now. People would not do a lot of things if they acknowledged the God of now. In verse 18, their soul abhorred all manner of food. In other words, they listened to the voice of the stranger. Does everybody get it? It says their soul abhorred it. It doesn't say their flesh did. Is everybody with me? Their soul abhorred it. The soul is made of the mind, the will, and the emotion. So the soul, the mind, was accepting all kinds of garbage from the voice of the stranger. The soul abhorred all manner of food. That means the voice of the stranger. And they drew near to the gates of death. Why? Because they were obeying the voice of the stranger. They lost sight of the God of now. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Wow, they finally acknowledged the God of now and cried out, didn't they? But if they would acknowledge the God of now before they chose to do these things, they would have never happened. Does everybody get it? And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Why? Because his word brings the present God. And delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So understand that the word brings God present right now. Does everybody get it? The word brings God what? Present. The name brings God what? Present. See, as you begin, when you say in the name of Jesus, it makes him present. That's why as you're walking down the street, go, hallelujah, you're always making contact with God because you're acknowledging him as the God of now. 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 Even a hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You're acknowledging him as the God of now. You're talking with him. He's walking with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. Look at Acts 1 something. No, Acts 10 something. Go to Acts 10. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 10:38. It says how God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power,
who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil. That means they accepted a thought or a lie as their, and accepted it as that thought that there was their own thought, and it brought them into captivity, didn't it? Does everybody get it? That's what oppression does. Oppression comes by a dart from the devil. And when you accept that dart as your own thought, you get brought into captivity. Well, nobody loves me. Well, who told you that? God didn't tell you that, did he? But if you're fellowshipping with the God of now, you'll understand that that didn't come from your daddy. Amen? Hallelujah. So we know that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, who is God. God's present. The Holy Spirit quickens me and you to the God of now all the time. If we're listening. Amen? And it says that he went around doing good and healing people who were oppressed by the devil for what? God was with him. And God is with me and you. But the one thing we must do is acknowledge him as the God of now. Amen? Okay, let's go a little further. Now we know that we just read that he sent his word and healed them because his presence brings healing. So the word had to become present. And in John 1:14, if you'll turn there for a second. Hallelujah. John 1:14. Would you read it with me, please? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Well, that's when God said, okay, here I come. The Father said, here I come. I'll be known as the Son of God. But it'll still be me. Full of grace and what? Truth. Wow. And it says that the word truth makes me and you free. See, when you know truth, you get free. So if you're fellowshipping with the God of now, you're walking in the truth because the Spirit is bringing all these things to you and you're walking in freedom. Why? Because you're allowing where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Bondages, from lies, deception. Freedom from the entanglements of the affairs of the world. Freedom from the voice of the stranger that tries to bring your thoughts into captivity and you into captivity. Freedom. If we're acknowledging the God of now, and that must take a conscious effort. I don't care if you're praying in tongues, casting out devils, whatever, and you're filled with the Spirit. Listen, you don't walk in the Spirit until you make a conscious effort too. God does not force you to walk in the Spirit. Amen. You must make a choice to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 4. Woohoo! In Matthew 4 and verse 4, we know that Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he said, if you are the Son of God, right? And Jesus said, it is written. What was he doing? He was manifesting his word, because he was manifested. Now he was speaking the word, wasn't he? And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. Every word. Why? Because when you speak the word, it brings God present. In other words, did you ever notice when somebody gets angry and they say something they shouldn't? You know who gets present? The devil. Your voice, your words will either manifest the presence of God or manifest the presence of the devil. Does everybody get it? You'll either speak the devil into existence right there to you and give him dominion, or you'll speak the presence of God in there to give him dominion. Does everybody get it? That's why there's life and death in the power of the tongue. The life is speaking the ways of the Lord, and the death is speaking the ways of the devil. Amen? Glory to God. So the Word, God's Word became present. God is present in His Word. Hello? The Word became present, and His Word brings His present. Amen? Okay. Go to 1 Peter 5. Oh, we're flying through the Bible tonight. Holy Ghost fan. The Word is cruising. First Peter 5. And verse 5. Everybody there? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, like I shared. If we're acknowledging God in the God as the God of now, we'll be submissive. Amen? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because you acknowledge Him as the God of now, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Why? Because you can't do it, but He can. If you acknowledge Him as the God of now, you're casting your cares upon Him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? When you lose sight of the God of now, guess who's there? The one waiting to devour you. That's his job. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now I want to share something with you. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. As you read this with me, resist him steadfast in the present. Does everybody get it? Resist him steadfast in the present, because without faith it's impossible to please God, right? Faith is tangible. So if you're fellowshipping with the God of now, who is in the present, you're resisting the devil, right? Does everybody get it? You're resisting him in the present. Does everybody get it? You're resisting him in the present because you have faith in God right now in the present. Because He is the God of now, not the God of was. You're not going by what something you heard a long time ago. You're not going by what you've been taught. You're resisting the devil in the God of presence right now. Because He is with you. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Now let me share something with you. So the devil tries to remove us from the present. Do you understand that? Amen. He tries to remove me and you from the God of now in the present. And what he does is he wants to bring you to the place. Now listen. Worries of tomorrow. Fears of today. And sorrows of yesterday. Does everybody get it? He wants to bring you into the worries of tomorrow, the fear of today, and the sorrows of yesterday. That moves you out of the place with the God of now. Has everybody got it? Let me say this again. The tempter comes to devour you. What he first must do is remove you from the God of now. If he can remove you from the God of now in the acknowledgement, making a conscious effort in the presence and in fellowship with the God of now, he does it by giving you shooting darts of worries of tomorrow, fears of today and sorrows of yesterday. Does everybody get it? If you grab those as your own thoughts, He's removed you from the God of now, and He will access you. Hello? And then that's when frustration, anger, fear, all kinds of things begin to manifest. Because He's moved you out from fellowship of the God of now. Amen? Okay, go to Mark 16. No. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Hallelujah. Then we'll go to Mark 16. 1 Samuel 17. Now we know that David was getting ready to go in the ring for God. He's getting ready to fight the world championship, Goliath. And Goliath came out with his robe and shield and sword, and David came out with the name of God. Hallelujah. In verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, that's enough. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now listen, the name of Jesus brings the God of now and present. Does everybody get it? Come on, man. Goliath was no small person. He was a big boy. Now, David was no wimp, but he was a young kid. I mean, you know. He went out there with the name of God, which made him a giant. That Philistine was going to eat dirt soon and lose his head. Let's see, where are we? And then David said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Why? Because he was coming with the God of now. He acknowledged the God of right now. And he cut off the head of the evil one with his own sword. Does everybody get it? Now look it. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. What was he talking about? The God of now, wasn't he? He wasn't talking about that there was a God. He said that there is a God. And you and I got to begin to acknowledge that there is a God who we serve, the God of now, right now, present with me and you. Amen? So the name of Jesus makes the God of now present. Go to Mark 16. Hallelujah. Hang tough. A couple more scriptures and we're done. The God of now.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lamb. Mark 16 and verse 17. Come on, you knew we were going here. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's all read this together. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will drink, pick up serpents and drink garbage and it won't hurt them. Of course, you're not going to tempt God or you'll die. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Because in the name of Jesus, manifest the God of now. What you're doing is acknowledging Him that He is now. And when you acknowledge Him as now, He moves His hand. And you will cast out devils. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? And you'll kick butt on serpents. Glory to God. You'll speak with new tongues because you'll have the language of God. Why? Because you're dealing with the God of now. Not that was. Isn't that a shame? Think about it. The devil has actually caused so much division in the body of Christ that he's convinced organizations that the God was then. Well, they only did the gifts and cast out devils and prayed in the Spirit and did those things then. You know what they're saying? He was the God of then. He's not the God of now. But they don't do that anymore. Well, that's a lie. They've lost fellowship with the God of now because His Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And they're fellowshipping with the God that was and not the God of now. They're missing out. They're missing out of the power and the presence of God. They're missing out in the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Because you need to have fellowship with the God of now. If you're fellowshipping with the God of now, you'll be casting out devils, praying in the Spirit. Signs will be following you because God is a sign. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. Go to Acts 2, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Acts 2:25. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read 25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Why? Because He's the God of now. For He is at my right hand, and that I may not be shaken. If you acknowledge Him as the God of now, what can man do to you? Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and You will make me full of joy in Your presence. Present presence. Amen? Glory to God. Go to Hebrews 13. Oh no, we already went there. Forget it. Let's go to Matthew 28. Cancel that Hebrews 13. I hope you brought your erasers. Should know by now anyways. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Praise God. Matthew 18, or 28, verse 18. Had you shaken up a little bit there, huh? Some of us needed to wake up a little bit. Matthew 18, Matthew 28 and verse 18, read it. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Now let's close on this verse. 2 Corinthians 6. Is everybody there? In verse 16. Glory to God. Let's read it. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Praise God. What's he saying? If you listen, touching unclean things means in the mind. If you touch an unclean thing in your mind and you accept it, it doesn't mean that unclean things aren't going to come. But if you touch it means grab hold of it, and it takes you captive, you lose sight of the God of now. And you become captive of the devil of now. Amen? So remember that the Lord is with you and never forsake you nor leave you. He's right here. Right with us. We must make that conscious effort to stay in the Spirit and to fellowship with the God of now. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, make yourself so real to us as for the God of now. When we speak your word and call out on your name. When we praise you, Lord. Lord, make yourself so real to us, knowing that we are the temple of God. You couldn't get any closer than that. Now, Lord, renew our minds to the mind of Christ. Quicken us, Holy Spirit, when we begin to drift, that we may acknowledge the God of now and walk in the presence of the God of now. With peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, manifesting your kingdom, bringing glory to your name by our conduct, and being used as a witness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and hallelujah.